There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date, the 28th of July, 2015, just about 2 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time here in the breadbasket of the United States of America. Tonight on the Abiding Presence, we're going to be a little absolute, pretty sharp, maybe harsh. And if we cross the threshold into mean-spirited, so be it. One of the biggest issues that faces all of us who want to worship in a group, to belong to an organization, for sometimes for the rudimentary feeling of there's safety in numbers, there's a certain confidence that you're not alone, that there's a building full of casual acquaintances or maybe total strangers who are doing what you're doing, and there's handshakes, hugs, and smiles all around. That's very encouraging and very inviting. Except when it comes to heaven or hell. Because that confidence, that self-assuredness, that gratification, peace of mind, that, if it wasn't working, if this wasn't good, nobody would be here kind of attitude, is exactly what prevents so many prayers not being prayers, so many healings not being healed, so many moments and instances of God's love, otherwise known as grace, passing by your face like a gentle summer breeze. First you think there's a breeze because you felt a moment of respite, a little coolness. And then all of a sudden, when you think about it and you really try to feel if there's a breeze, no, it's just a hot, humid, muggy day. There was no breeze. But you swore there was for a moment. Because you felt something that gave you relief from the heat of the day. For so many, that literally describes the only, maybe once in a lifetime experience with grace. Tragedy comes to mind, heartache, melancholy, sad, disgusting, unfortunate, really describes such an event. as often as you blink your eyes, as often as you swallow, as often as you touch your face with your hands, grace should be in your life 100 times more frequent than those. That no matter what time of day it is, if you're outside and you're away from trees and buildings, you know for a fact you're casting a shadow. So no matter where you look, what you're wearing, your attitudes, your feelings, your thoughts, you know you're casting a shadow. Because as long as the sun is up, the sun is shining at you from all kinds of angles as it crosses the horizon from morning till night. Well, that shadow is grace. It's always there. But yet, how many of us take our shadows for granted? We don't even realize we cast a shadow. We're just caught up in the moments of the day, ignoring the reflection that is really us. So maybe we're ignoring our spirit, our connection with Christ, who we truly are, because we're caught up in the moments of the day. So tonight what we're going to do is we want to talk about perspective. It's so easy to listen to Jim's radio show and feel hopeful and anxious that tomorrow, Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2015, is a fresh start. But yet today, the 28th, and Monday, the 27th, and Sunday, the 26th, were they really noteworthy? Did you have issues on those days? Is one day just like the next? So that you become jaded. You start looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. It's only going to get so good, but there's going to be issues and dramas that just carry over. This is why it's hard to go to sleep, hard to finish a meal. The romance is gone in the relationship. Just stay up late playing solitaire on your computer, on the internet, or watching movies that you've seen a million times that you really didn't like the first time. Anything to distract you, to take your thoughts away from the fact that yesterday was like today and tomorrow is probably going to be just like today. Because with that mindset, you've literally brick by brick, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, you have built a wall to block yourself from your own grace. This has nothing to do with heaven. It has nothing to do with hell. It has to do with the fact that your attitude is such that you have chosen to live a life grace-free by your own accord, by your own actions. But yet, you want to have salvation. You think that somebody should come in like a white knight and sweep you off your feet and give you a glorious tomorrow, when by default, you've already decided that tomorrow is going to be like today. Because, Jim, there's a lot of people that literally live themselves, choose themselves into a unhappy pattern of life, don't they?
Yes, and it's not just what you might think to be people that don't know God or have never been to quote-unquote church or are religious people. It's people that are actually sitting in the pews going every Sunday that find themselves really struggling with the concept. And that's part of the reason why people really struggle. What they think about God is a concept. They worship the concept that God is there. They worship the idea that God is real. They pray with a hope that the God they know is real but they've never met will do something for them. In other words, it's very impersonable. I love the story. In fact, I've told this story before, how that one time I was studying, and I have on my Bible program the ability to look up words, Greek words, Hebrew words, and I was looking up on Vines the word fasting. And I typed it into my computer, but what came up was believe. And I thought that to be real strange, so I just quickly clicked out and typed in fasting again. But it happened again the second time. And then it happened again the third time. And the third time that when I typed in fasting, believe came up on Vines, I decided to read it. And I really was glad I did. And this may sound like you may not believe what really happened, but it was the Lord doing this. Because as soon as I read what I read, and I'm going to share that in a second, I typed in fasting after I read what I was supposed to read, and then fasting came up. So kind of very interesting. But nonetheless, when I read what it said about believe, it was talking about Abraham and his relationship with God and how he questioned God about what God said he would inherit. And God told him, go outside and look at the stars and see if you can number them. So shall your descendants be. And Abraham did that, and he believed. And it says, then God put it on his credit or his account as righteousness. Well, Vines said this. It said, Abraham did not believe the impersonal word of God. Abraham believed God himself. And I think that's really, really interesting, because this is where we really want to get to, folks. The idea that grace can be something every once in a while, I think that old idea comes from the whole religious practice where God is just every once in a while. It's not an everyday relationship with him, where you're with him all the time, and if you're with someone all the time, what are the chances that you're probably interacting with them? Versus God comes every once in a while, and every blue moon, which we're getting ready to have here in Oklahoma in a couple days, every blue moon it seems like you have a supernatural, miraculous experience, but you can't duplicate it. You can't get it to happen day after day after day. Well, folks, this is religion at its best, and we want to talk about that tonight. My first verse that I'm going to give you is Ephesians 2 and verse 2 in the Message Bible, and it says, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. I think that's a real good start for us, because we want the perspective that God has, not the perspective of the world.
Okay, folks, we have a new text messaging. All right. Now, the way it works is the new word that you have to start your text message with is R-A-N-G-E-R, the name of my dog, Ranger. That's the first word that you type is Ranger in your text message. And we have a new number. After you type the word Ranger, you type your hello or question or comment. And then when you press the send button, it's an easier number to remember. It's 99,000. It's two nines and then three zeros. So the first word that you type in your text is Ranger, R-A-N-G-E-R. And then when you press the send button to send your text, it's 99000. That's 99 and three zeros. The email is the same. We have emails. It's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no capital letters, no spaces, at the letter G, gmail.com. So you can text the show. You can email the show. The first email we have came in 4 days ago, and it's from the Kitchen Counter Couple.
Oh, nice.
It says, congratulations on your 200th show from the Kitchen Counter Couple. We are unable to listen live on last Tuesday. We have just listened to the show, and we loved the radio listeners who called in. It was so fun to hear their voices and the positive comments on how the show has helped them. Have a great day. Well, that was a nice email from the Kitchen Counter people.
You know, I think it's been a while, hasn't it, since we've actually
They sent an email about a month ago or so.
Uh-huh.
They're busy on Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights, yeah.
But they still listen to the show. They just don't listen live.
Right.
There's a lot of people that I think are doing that now. It was nice last week on the 200th show. We heard from Stovetop Sue.
We did.
And the family was together, all except Granddad. He was still out in Morgan Hill, California. Everybody else was in Minnesota.
Barb, yeah.
Dave and Barb. Stovetop Sue. And it was not. And, you know, haven't we already come to the conclusion that we're going to have another telephone night?
Yeah, we have.
I don't know when it will be, but we're going to do it again.
Well, the interesting part about the next one will be we're not celebrating a show where people are in kindness telling us how much they appreciated it, but this will be where people can just ask questions. It'll be good. Interact.
Yeah.
That'll be real good.
I don't know when it'll be, but we'll give people forewarning so that they can participate. All right, so you know how to email the show. You know how to text the show. It's on the contacts page on www.theabidingpresence.com. We're talking about we've touched this before on many shows, but we're trying to kind of, I don't know, tie it all together into a bundle tonight to really make you think. It's it's kind of like when somebody says, I had to do it. And you say, why did you do that? And they go, I had no choice. I had to. There's always a choice. It might just be a tough choice. It might be a choice that's unbearable, unthinkable, a choice that you just literally are afraid of, or it might. But there's always a choice to be made. And one thing that negative energy, that hell, Beelzebub, Satan, devil, whatever you want to call them, negative energy loves is when a person decides they have no choice. That it's out of their control, it's out of their hands, that they just have to go with their emotions or what someone has chosen for them. And because in your heart, you know you're doing wrong. You know it's going to go bad. You know it's not going to turn out good. But yet, it's more to let yourself off the hook. It's more of kind of a mental and emotional, stomach pill to ease your pain and your queasiness in your stomach, because you say, what was I going to do? I had no choice. I had to. And the really sad, perverse thing about this perspective of yourself and your life is that people embrace that.
Yeah.
And they want to embrace it.
Right.
And they want you to say it to them, because then it's an open invitation for right. them to say it back to you.
Right.
It's literally like misery loves company. Great. If you didn't have a choice, then they'll say it's okay for me not to have a choice.
Yeah.
Not to take a hard line, to stand up for my morals and principles, to do the right thing. I don't have to, because I'm no better or worse than anybody else. And if they didn't have a choice, well then I'm off the hook. I don't have a choice either.
You know, thinking about while you're talking about that, thinking about this and how people make choices, it helps to explain then when people just immediately will go to what they're used to, which is the doctor, or go to some other person or to a friend to ask their advice. All of that says that they just don't feel like they have anything that they can do. They don't have any confidence in God, and so he wouldn't be the first choice. In fact, rarely is he anymore. He becomes kind of like what you do at the very end when you don't have anything else to do. Then you go back and give him crumbs. But it really does show why people do this, because if they feel like they don't know what to do, it's way easier to pass it off on somebody else.
Well, it is, especially when it comes to it's doctor's orders.
Uh-huh.
Well, he he filled out the prescription, and I went and got it. I might as well take them now that I got them and just see what happens. It literally is just as easy to, it's easy to make a doctor's appointment. It's easy to cancel. It's real easy for you to go to a big store to the drive-up window and pick up a prescription that your doctor's office phoned into that store. Well, it's just as easy just to drive by that store and go get an ice cream cone. There seems to be an epidemic problem in today's world in 2015 where we're willing to stand between the ropes and take a number and wait all day long for service. We're willing to follow the detour signs. We're willing to give up our freedom and our rights because, well, what would my one single vote do? We're willing to knuckle under, to fold, because it just seems that it's too big, it's out of our hands, and we would lose trying to buck the system.
Right.
And make no mistake about it, we are creatures of habit.
Sure.
And so how does this pertain to heaven and hell? Well, it pertains to heaven and hell this way. The point is, if you acknowledge that we're creatures of habit, and that once we start to choose a certain perspective, well, then we become a habit. If there's a habit of choosing something other than Christ, and it becomes a reality, so that we start justifying, well, I'm not good enough to have a prayer answered. I make many mistakes. I haven't fallen through with my New Year's resolutions. I have to do more. I have to be a better person. I have to study more, participate more. I have to tithe more. And so we self-deprecate ourselves into a discouraging position of reality. And so one day is like the next, and tomorrow will be like today.
Well, don't you think that in that type of reality, the person is their own worst enemy?
They're doing the devil's work, there's no question about it.
Because if your total reliance was upon the fact that you knew grace, the Holy Spirit, was available and you could access Him all day long, why would you get in the way? I mean, put two and two together, it seems to sum up to me that there's the one of the shorts that we have. That's one of the places where we short out, where we're not confident that He's there. We're not confident that He's available or that we can have access to Him.
I think what's really interesting is that when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the guys told them what their daily life and future would hold. The trials, the tribulations, the heartache, the agony, the uphill battle it was going to be. And yet, not once did Adam and Eve question that it had to be that way. Did it have to stay that way? Was this for 6 months or a year or for the rest of my life? They never inquired. They just accepted that's the way it was going to be from now on. But yet, at any time, it could have changed. And an example of how it didn't have to be that way was the positive and the negative posts of their family battery, Cain and Abel. How one chose grace and one decided to ignore grace. Now, that shows that no matter what your perspective is, or what environment you're living in, there's grace there for the taking.
Yeah, there is. And I think one of the profound things that we were talking about earlier before the show, that's the reason why we're talking about this now, is when you made the comment, you know, the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin really was a change of perspective from always having grace present.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that God wasn't present. It's just their perspective changed as though they then would be responsible for things that God would. Now, that's part of the consequence. The fact that he would say, okay, you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do that, you're going to have to do this and that. Well, they accepted that as though possibly God wouldn't be there to help. And we're still reeling from that today, all these many years later, when Jesus came to put all that aside and put that to rest, that grace now was available for everyone in abundance, and you could have a relationship again where you wouldn't have to go day by day by day doing it yourself. Every day you could lean on and trust in God's grace to do things for you.
As Scripture states that all of our sins are forgiven, and people say, yes, all my sins are forgiven, and they'll say that the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of Christ's Son, paid for all our sins. And people say, yes, all my sins have been paid for, all my sins are forgiven. But yet, very rarely does someone really take that to heart and apply it. They'll say, yes, I know, yes, it's true, it's glorious, praise God, and but yet, no one actually lives it.
Okay.
Very rarely does someone say, okay, if this is true, and I believe it to be true, then tomorrow is going to be one heck of a day for me.
Sure, and this is when I was in Kentucky just a couple weeks ago. I just got a text today, and one of the ladies, it was two ladies sitting right beside each other, and both of them had problems with cataracts in their eyes. And the one lady that actually asked for the prayer was bold enough to ask. I came over and ministered to her. While I was ministering to her, the other lady said, do you mind praying for me? Well, the one that said, do you mind praying for me, while she was on her way home, she said it felt like something was scratching her eye. When she got home, the cataract was gone. She sees perfectly. Well, the first lady that actually raised a hand, at least at this point, nothing happened. Now, my point was to say this. We can get so good at the preliminary step, but never applying it, that when it comes to the healing, we're good at saying, hey, pray for me, but we're not good at doing what? Actually receiving that and having the change.
Well, the reason that so many people are not receiving grace is because they're really not in a position to do so. And what I mean, it's not about being in the front of the line or the back of the line. It's not about being late for the meeting or the clothes they wear or how much money they give the organization. It's about inside them. It's the way they view themselves and they view the world they live in. And you can show somebody through testimonies and examples. You can have people read scripture, go to meetings, listen to your radio show, Jim. You can do all kinds of things that you would think is indisputable evidence of God's glory and that grace is real and it's waiting to avail itself to everyone alive and dead. But until an individual makes a conscious choice to give themselves to grace, nothing will happen. It's like being in a room when someone pulls the fire alarm and all the sprinklers in the room, everybody's getting wet. And you're in the middle of the room and you're surrounded by people, but you're in that dead area. Everybody's getting soaking wet around you, and you don't even have a drop of water on you.
Mm-hmm.
You are bone dry, and everybody else around you is about ready to go for a swim.
Yeah.
The sprinklers are just drowning them. And that is a self-prophesized, a self-choice philosophy and a mindset. Because if you were to grab that person in the middle of that room and pull them into the sprinklers, they will instinctively step back into their dry space.
Hmm.
Because they haven't chose
right
to step out of the reality they're in. Sometimes they're nervous. Sometimes it's safe. Sometimes it's because that's all they know. And this shouldn't really come as a surprise, because this particular frame of mind of this is all I know, this is the reality I know, I'm accustomed to it, change might be worse, I've learned to adapt and to get along in this reality, that is the overwhelming majority of why women stay in abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for no other way to put it, the devil they know is easier to deal with than possibly having a devil that's worse, that they don't know.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I have a verse I think that would fit right here. It's James 1 and 26, and it says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." I look at this verse in relationship to what we're talking about, and I can see here that there's a fight on two hands. One, there's a heart where the connection with God is. The other, there's your tongue that is deceiving the heart. In other words, you could say it like this: the actions of a person's mind, the things that we say without even thinking about it, the kind of dialogue that comes out of our mouth that's not connected to our heart. But for the most part, that dialogue is how we live our life. Most people, I would say, live their life out of a unrealistic dialogue, because their heart is very rarely tapped into.
Yeah.
And I think this is what this verse is trying to say. This person's religion is useless.
Yeah.
If you never tap into the heart. And we were talking about something earlier, about some of the experiences you were having. And I just thought that was interesting, because the way that you responded to something that could have been, I mean, think about it, folks. How many times have we built a mountain out of nothing? I was going to say a molehill, because that's the phrase. But I mean, almost you could say a mountain out of nothing. I mean, something happened, and your perspective is to look at that through the eyes of negativity and think the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking that grace is there, this is actually not even an issue.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people are tapping into their hearts, which again goes right back to being a spirit and how much we're fellowshipping with God out of our spirit.
Most people live payday to payday, paycheck to paycheck. They live day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And they make choices and decisions on that level of consistency and short-sightedness. That is a real tough habit to prevent someone from repenting, making a 180-degree change, and choosing grace and a new way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost the reason why they would live crisis to crisis. Paycheck to paycheck, spiritual crisis to crisis. So God's not in the picture unless there's a crisis. And even then, there's no real confidence.
Right.
Because there's nothing for them to lean on, is there?
No, there's nothing to lean on, and there's nothing to count on, and there's really nothing that is different or earth-shattering or drastically positive.
Right.
So, since, I mean, so what, you like listening to this radio show? And maybe we make you laugh, and maybe we make you have some heartfelt tears, and you listen every week. If you don't have some type of progress, if it isn't helping you to become a different individual. Notice I didn't say better.
Uh-huh.
I said a different individual.
Right.
To redesign how you see yourself and the reality that you want to live. I think, other than that, what's the point? I mean, it's... And see, this comes down to the individual. You can't force grace on someone. You can't leverage them or talk them into it. I think one of the biggest mistakes that someone makes is when they literally drag someone to worship. Or it's some kind of a deal where they say, where the wife says, honey, I'm the only one who doesn't have her husband. They always ask how you are and what you're doing, and I always make excuses. Isn't there just some way? I mean, it's only an hour. Can't you just come for an hour?
Right.
I'll make you a deal. You don't have to clean out the garage this weekend, and you can watch sports all weekend, and I'll make your favorite mini tacos if you just go to worship with me on Sunday morning. And the person, it's like a broker deal. It's like you're leveraging a piece of property or something. And they go. That is really stupid. Because it does nothing for the person that is trying to get somewhere with their worship. Because they know subconsciously in their heart that the only reason the person's there is because they're going to get to watch TV, they don't have to clean out the garage, and you're going to spend all afternoon making mini tacos. So what? So they're so distracted, they don't get the benefit from the worship. I mean, it would really, truly be better for that person to just say, do you want to go? Fine. Okay, don't. So that you don't have somebody putting a cloud on your sunshiny right. day of worship.
Right.
Well, your family history of worshiping, the religious organization that you belong to, what you believe to be right and true about Scripture can be that other person. You can talk yourself into something that is of no benefit to you. Well, like I talked about at the beginning of the show, well, there's 350 people here. And they're all clapping and they're all saying, praise Jesus. Well, it must be me. Because they're getting it and I'm not. So so you think, okay, well, I got to get along to go along. And organized religion loves that. They want to guilt you. They want to beguile you. They want to convince you that the more you participate, the more that you belong, the more that you make it into your life, the more it's going to benefit you. But it doesn't.
Hmm.
Because it's not real. And see, here's the thing. When you have a relationship with the guys, even if it is for momentary and casual, there's nothing in your life that compares to it. I mean, it knocks your socks off. You know. There's no question. If you wonder if a prayer's been answered, if you wondered if that was grace, if you're not sure that you saw God's hand do something, it probably didn't. Because... we are children of Christ, all of us. We're born with grace. And as you love to believe, all of our sins are forgiven, all of our prayers will be answered, and the blood of Jesus paid for all of our sins. If you subscribe to those things, you believe those things, then that means any type of communication or contact with the guys is going to be so profound and so different than everything else is in your life. So if your way of worshiping, the choices you're making, have more to do with your life on the world, remember, there's nothing good of the flesh, nothing good of the world, then perhaps your perspective is wrong, that you're off base. Because heaven and hell are completely different.
Right.
And heaven and hell, both sides of the spectrum, ignore and blow off this planet in reality. When you go to hell, you don't take anything with you from this reality of this radio show. When you go to heaven, same thing. So look at where you're putting your energy. Look at where your efforts are. And look at what you're worshiping. Are you worshiping the reality that you've created for yourself on this planet? Or are you really worshiping Christ?
Yeah, that's good.
And nobody can answer that but you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
We got
good.
Two text messages.
Good.
Finally. We got one that says, "Hey, Ranger and Company." I like that. "I have been experiencing healing daily. However, my balance has not been responding. Suggestions?" You want to go first?
Sure. First suggestion is, I think what we're sharing here in this show is actually going to be very good for you, because it's, again, about perspective. For instance, the fact that you're experiencing something is, to you, in my opinion, an opportunity for you to experience it all. There's no reason why we would want to stop short. So, again, I have to ask certain questions, which is, what's the possibility that it's just a part of the way that maybe you do life, that you only got half of it? Maybe you don't finish things that you start. I don't know. I'm just asking some questions here. Maybe, kind of like we've been talking about, you have a form of, I believe that God does these things. I've even had some healings in the past, but then they're not consistent. So what's more consistent is a non-healing or not having God in your life. So I think what we're talking about tonight actually is very important to you going ahead and just getting out of the way for the rest of it. There's no sense having God touch you in one particular area or on a particular degree without touching you all the way.
That's a good answer. Another text that says, "Please help us to become better receivers." And it says, "Thank you." Well, I think to become a better receiver is I like the fact that you think that you can be a better receiver.
Yeah.
Because it means that you actually believe there's something to receive.
Yeah.
That there's information there to be absorbed.
That's good.
I think as far as help us to become better receivers, I don't think that's our job. Frankly, I don't think it's any of our business, and I really don't care. Because this is about your relationship with Christ. And it is what you develop it into. And as far as being a better receiver, I think the only tip or advice I can give you is, instead of asking Jim and myself how we can help you to become better receivers, the fact that you know there's something to receive, maybe the better question is, what's in your way? Because we don't know you. We don't know your life. We don't know your thoughts or feelings. We don't know what type of goals you have. And so possibly, maybe, I think a better, more profound question is saying, okay, I know there's something to receive. Perhaps you've even received something. Well, then you have to say, what are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What is my daily choices on how I live my life that's preventing me from more? And see, that really is your business. It's really up to you to figure out what that is. I don't know.
I would just say this. The act of receiving is more simple than we've made it. And this is something that I've seen, you know, on the road ministering to people. The moment you get somebody to actually think that there's a possibility other than what they've bought into, it's as though grace is there, like in a hurry. And we see so many people just with asking them the question, maybe it's not what you think it is, and instantly people are getting healed with just opening their heart and mind. So my only thought with receiving is, really don't take lightly the idea of opening your heart and opening your mind.
If I was Grace, I'd say, I don't know what you're waiting to receive.
That's really good, yeah.
You were born with it.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you're waiting for a train that's parked behind you. You need to just turn around and get on the train.
And that's why I wonder sometimes if that is simply the opening of the heart and the mind to the fact that maybe things are different than what they seem.
It's very difficult to. It's so easy for us, Jim, to sit here and say, repent, change direction, don't care about this, don't do that. Because the first thing somebody's going to think of is, well, until you've walked a mile in my shoes.
Right, sure.
Until you know what I know or feel the pain I have. Well, you know, on the surface, that seems like a very valid defense. But that's all it is. The key word isn't valid. The key word is defending.
Defense. Yeah.
You're defending a position of failure and pain and drama. Why aren't you revelating in the grace that you were born
mm-hmm.
with?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you rejoicing in the fact that there really is a Christ? But instead, it's crazy as it sounds, but I think there's a lot of people that worship the flesh, they worship the world, they're worshiping and giving in to dramas and past bad days instead of choosing something else. And you can't force somebody at gunpoint to decide to do something different. First, they have to acknowledge that the reality that they've chosen to make for themselves.
Yeah, that's good. This is important.
Is not the reality of grace.
Not the one, right.
And once they realize that they're living and creating a reality that is unproductive, well, then they have to choose to do something about it. And then the next step is they say, okay, fine, I'm living a reality that isn't Christ-like. I'm living a reality that really has no redeeming aspects to me going to heaven. It's really just going to put me in the line for hell accidentally. Well, once they've chose, then they have to really choose to follow up and say, I need a course correction.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't allow themselves time, and they get discouraged. And boy, you know, negative energy loves this because he's got nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And these people just choose themselves into hell. They literally, they do. They're not robbing banks. They're not looting and pillaging. They're not killing or abusing. But they're literally just choosing themselves into hell by making choices because, well, what was I going to do? It's the only choice. I don't have a choice. I have to. Well, I can't stay home. I have bills to pay. I have to work. I don't have a choice. Well, I can't just not stop going to the doctor. I have to finish these procedures and prescriptions. I have no choice. What am I going to do? This is an epidemic of unmeasurable proportions globally.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the United States of America, but everywhere.
Yeah.
We need some text messages, folks. The way you text the show, the first word you type is my dog's name, Ranger. R-A-N-G-E-R. And then when you press the send button to send your text, you send it to 9930. That's 99,000. We have only had one email. Where is everybody? We need some emails here. The Abiding Presence at the letter G, gmail.com. You know, we've had two text messages, one email from 4 days ago. I don't think anybody's listening.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, maybe not.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I love this. It says, do you get on the train by just believing it's there? Do you get on? Remember, I mentioned a train. Do you get on the train by just believing it's there? All aboard! All aboard! All aboard for the Jesus train! How's that for timing?
Yeah, that's pretty good timing.
That's pretty good timing, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost like real radio.
Yeah, you don't usually have that thing out there. So, where do you keep that?
Huh? In my wallet.
Yeah. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Do you get on the train by just believing it's there? No. And this is why. I mean, a great text message, by the way. No, because there's a lot of people that believe that. This is what you'll hear a lot of times in interviews on TV or magazines or something. Somebody will say, well, I don't know if there's a heaven or not, but I know there's something else besides this life and world. I know there's something more to it. That it just isn't about this. And then you'll have somebody that'll say, well, yeah, there's a God. No, I don't worship. And no, I don't pray. But, oh, yeah, there's heaven and there's hell. And yeah, I believe there's a God. Well, neither one of those people have a relationship with Christ. They haven't accepted the guise into their heart. They haven't acknowledged that they have a divine spirit, a divine spark, a soul. They haven't done that. Now, I'll tell you, I told this to Jim before the show, and Jim will testify to it. I said that there can be someone who was in an airplane as a baby, and the plane crashes in Africa, and the little baby grows up with monkeys, and it don't know how to speak or write. It's never heard the word God. It's never heard of the Bible before. It's just completely ignorant of anything to do with organized religion, let alone the word of Christ. Well, that is truly an innocent person. But someone who knows there's a Bible, someone who believes that there's a heaven or hell, and they literally choose not to acknowledge or connect with grace. What they're really doing is they're turning their back on God. They're making a choice not to. What kind of future do you think that holds for that person? What type of atmosphere do you really think they put themselves in? But yet, they're covered under the scripture of all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. That in any moment in your conscious mind, you can repent and you can accept the guise into your heart. This recipe shows that all of us are in a position to do more, to have more, to experience more. But it's one or the other. You're not going to be able to hold on to the trials and tribulations, the crappy stuff of the day, and think that Grace is going to sit next to you on the couch for the 10 o'clock news and weather.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of the book of James. I've already read a little bit about that to you. But, you know, the book of James is all about moving past ideas in your head into the actual experience of something that you desire. James talks all about, you know, a guy's not going to experience any answer to a prayer as long as he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And he talks there and likens it unto the waves of the sea tossed to and fro. So you've got somebody who one minute they can see the truth, the next minute they're back into their head just thinking about how it may or may not work. The rest of the book is really along those lines. What I was reading to you earlier on the 26th verse of the first chapter about what real religion is and religion that's useless. You know, when the heart is deceived. Before that, James starts talking about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. So see, he's already meeting up with people. In James's day as a pastor, he's dealing with individuals who are over into this world of, they've learned the lingo, they know what to say, they lift their hands in worship. They may be good participators in a service, but they're not getting it when it comes to making application so that they're beginning to apply it. And James is digging right in here. That's why in the second chapter he says things like, you can't just tell somebody, go be warm and be at peace if you have what's necessary to give them and you don't give it to them. And then he goes into this expose on, you know, can faith be real faith without works? And he says, you can say you have faith, but I'll show you my faith by what I do. Well, the words faith, believe, all those words, but when you really boil it down to make it simple, it comes down to what reality is real to you and how are you going to respond all day long in life? Before the show, BJ made mention of something. I wrote it down here. It was just kind of interesting to hear him make this comment. Because I think sometimes we get the idea that as long as you love God, that you'll never have an opposition all day long. You're just going to literally have this fairy tale life where there's never going to be even an opportunity for a problem. But the reality is, we're living in a real messed up world, which gives us multiple opportunities on a daily basis to have all kinds of tests and trials and really crummy experiences. But how you respond to the opportunity has everything to do with showing you what you really are getting or what you really know or what you really believe is true. Because you can't just do like I've heard so many people do. Well, I'm believing. Well, yeah. How's that working? Because it's not. All that is it's a phrase to make you feel like you're engaged when you know you're not.
I think one of the saddest things I've ever heard, and I hear it on a regular basis, that just lets me know that organized religion isn't off base. It's not even in the ballpark. You know, it's not even in the parking lot.
Right.
If you're going to use, you know, sports terms by saying off base, is they'll say, I know I've been healed. I'm just waiting for the manifestation.
Right.
What a load of crap. I mean, I feel so sorry if those people genuinely have been convinced or debated into that position, because there's nowhere in Scripture where it says waiting, time delayed. There's a shelf life.
There's a shelf life.
Yeah, well, you know, you pray, but if you don't get your pray in by 4:35 on Wednesday... you're just going to have to wait for that manifestation.
Right, first of the week.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. It's a little busy because it's back to school sales. You know, it's just, come on, really? You've let someone allow you to enter your mind with such a bucket full of stuff that you choose to believe that there is a God. You choose to believe you're healed, and then you choose to suffer for an undetermined amount of time? Like, really? Ask and you shall receive.
all prayers are answered. Where in there does it say wait, delay? Well, we'll get back to you. That particular prayer is back ordered. There's a lot of people that got bad backs. So you're just going to have to wait. We're going to grant your prayer, but there's a lot of bad backs in the world, and we've got a lot of... So we'll get to you, though. We know you did it. Your prayer's been answered. Your manifestation is... Well, you know, there's people in front of you. That's literally what you're choosing to create for yourself. Why? How do you back that up? How do you justify that? Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you put yourself in a position to say, I believe in God, I believe in prayer, I know prayer works, but I'm just not going to get any results? How do you do that?
Well, these are all default settings that we go back to because we're afraid of admitting that we're a failure, that we've messed up, that there has to be a change. I've watched this over the years. People come up with all kinds of phrases like this or positions like this where it's easier to take the position than it is to actually sit down and figure out the problem.
We got a... I'm losing a couple of cowgirls to school. One's going to nursing school. The other one's going to be a senior in college. And so they're going to be gone in a couple of weeks. So I got internet postings and flyers up around the area because I need to hire at least one person, you know. And
right.
And there was this lady. I think she's a little old to do the job, frankly. Because I asked what her age is, and she says, does it matter? And I says, yeah, it does matter. And I says, if you're 67 years old, you're not going to be loading bales on trucks.
Right.
You know, and, she asked this question. She says, what if I was to make a mistake or break something? And I says, you're going to make a lot of mistakes and you're going to break a lot of stuff. And I says, the only time I get mad is when you make the same mistake over or you break the same thing twice. I says, if you learn from your mistakes, that's all you can really expect and hope
right,
for.
Right.
And I says, but if you keep breaking the same thing and making the same mistake, well, that's just stupid and we don't do stupid on this ranch. And she laughed and she says, well, that's fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you acknowledge God and you've accepted Christ into your heart, it doesn't mean that there isn't some mistake down the road, that you're not going to have a bad thought or a bad choice. It just means that it's not going to be very likely, because the longer that you spend with grace, the more you focus on grace, the more you enjoy your life, the less likely your mind, body, and spirit is to trip, stumble, fall, or drift away, or have a relapse, however cute way you want to put it. Because as the longer you've been alive, the harder it is to choose a life of grace, because you've racked up so many years of habits of the flesh and of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for a younger person to turn towards God because, well, they really don't have that burden of all those years.
Yeah.
And the years they've lived are more innocent of mistakes, hopefully. And so you have to be patient with yourself and understand that this is a work in progress, that once you want to change, that's great, and you start to change, and you start enjoying each day for what it is. I mean, folks, if you don't need an attorney or bail money, you don't need a policeman or a fire truck or a doctor, it's a great day. You have to really start putting things in perspective. and you're going to see that you really fill your days with dramas and pain that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're pointless. And they really have no purpose. We just got a text that says, "We have messed up. How do we fix the delayed manifestation thinking?" Well, the first step is you've taken it, the hard one. The fact that you've acknowledged that you made a mistake and that something needs to be fixed and that delayed manifestation thinking is wrong. That's actually the hardest part.
Right.
Is it not? You know, have you ever noticed when you're talking to your best friend or a coworker or maybe a relative or a neighbor that you talk until you're blue in the face and you're trying to do everything you can to talk them out of doing or participating in something because it's wrong, and they just seems to go in one ear and out the other, and you get so frustrated that you get to a point where you get mad and you just say, "Oh, the heck with it. I've said and done everything I can. They're not listening. They don't want to listen." Right. And then all of a sudden, something gets just too bad or too costly for them to bear, and all of a sudden they have this personal revelation that they need to change. They need to do something about it. And they do. And you just look at them and think, "I told you this months ago." All of a sudden now you just, like a light switch, decide to stop doing this or be with this person. Well, it's like that with the guys. It's like I said, you can't wheel and deal, leverage someone in. You may possibly be the only person in your house that has a relationship with the guys. As bad as that sounds, as depressing as it is, it's a fact. You're not alone. And the real testimony of a true child of God is not to force-feed Scripture to them, not to leverage or bribe, but to show through testimony of success with grace, of a grace-filled life, of a life that is small with problems, a life that is large with contentment and happiness. That is testimony. That's what we all want to strive for, or I should say that's what I hope everybody wants to strive for.
You know, I'm going to just pipe in here a little bit on this. You know, the whole idea of changing this waiting on the manifestation mentality. Well, if you think on a larger scale to what we're doing on this show, everything about every broadcast is focused on that very thing, to change this whole mentality of waiting, of not experiencing, of not knowing when God is really God, about getting out of the way. It's all about this. And I think about something that I'm going to go right now and brag on the Weaver kids for a second. Hopefully they're listening, having ice cream in their summer vacation.
They never called in last week. Yeah, not one call from the Weaver kids.
I know that the mom, Heather, said that they were trying to come up with something. So our next time, we expect them to call in. But Heather made a comment to me, and it's something that you said, BJ, and to be honest, I'm playing catch up with this because I didn't start this with my kids.
What's that?
Well, when they're studying, instead of just telling them the answer or even working with them through an answer that they or a problem that they have, get them to believe that grace would actually help them.
Yeah.
And that's something I didn't start young enough for it to be a habit. So I love what Heather said. She said, you know, we don't have to work with them on their homework, pretty much do anything. I mean, grace does it all. And I love that they've incorporated that so quickly with their kids, that their kids are starting to get answers to their problems by just relying on the fact that grace is there. So answering this question, how do you get out of this waiting on the manifestation mentality? Well, it's beginning to allow God to actually be with you and be present and tangible all day long.
I'm not a parent. I never wanted children. Because I knew they were going to want things. Food, water, clothing, shelter. You know, and I thought...
The basics.
Yeah, I thought, why do I want to feed a kid, provide clothing to a kid, and provide a room for a kid when I can spend that money and have a bigger barn with more horses? You know, I'd say children, horses. Well, there's no choice. Let's go buy another horse. Just me. Honestly, but when a child is young, you dress them, you feed them, you show them how to go to the bathroom, you show them how to brush their teeth, you show them how to be self-reliant. It stands to reason that is the same way that a parent should be towards their children with a relationship with the guys. That there has to become a point where it is a personal independence choice. Mom, I have a headache. Mom, I stubbed my toe. Mom, I slammed my finger in the door. Will you pray for a healing for me? No, you do it. Because it comes down to the fact that we're all born with grace, we're all children of God, we're all made in His image, and it is our personal relationship. I think it's a very slippery slope, and it's like quicksand, it's like a giant quagmire that parents supersede a surrogate relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They take the place of grace.
Right.
Let me do that for you.
Sure.
Because that's not real testimony.
No. No, not at all.
That is, and here's where it gets kind of tough, because that's no different than a religious organization making an adult believe that the only place their prayer can be answered is in this building on a Sunday morning.
Right.
That the person in the pulpit on the stage with the microphone and the movie screen behind them is closer to God,
right,
has all the answers, and that's who you turn to.
Yeah.
It sounds bad to say, but it's the same thing. We got an email.
Well, our first one of the night.
It says, "Hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. We have been trying to find the distilled translation, but haven't found it available. Do you know where we can get one? Also, did you guys mention a book that has like many different translations? It's just the New Testament. If so, where can we find that too? As always, we look forward to listening in, Troy and Barb." What's a distilled transition? I've never heard that before.
Translation. Yeah, I don't know that you're going to find it. I don't think it's in print anymore, but you can...
What about a thumper store? I better tell people what a thumper store
is. No.
I mean, you don't think thumper stores would have it?
No, you would possibly find something like this at a garage store, you know, just hit and miss. You could, and if you've tried already, I'm sure that...
What is it?
It's just a different translation.
And it's called the Distilled?
The Distilled Translation, yes. Instead of the King James, it's the Distilled. It's the translation that has my favorite scripture on it in this translation where it says, "Now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God." And that's the translation. It's from the Distilled Translation. There's some really good... scriptures out of that translation. I don't know where you can go to get one.
Here we go. It's on Amazon. It's the Distilled Bible, New Testament, paperback.
They do have them. They sell them.
It's got 4 stars. Oh, it says out of print, limited availability.
Okay, can you get one then?
Maybe. I don't know. I just asked the guys for help, and my computer screen is got all kinds of stuff. Here's another one that's coming up. The Distilled Bible New Testament by Roy Greenhill, published in 1980, written in English. It's 219 pages. It's got an ISBN number. It's an open library. And it says you can read it. This is a website called the Open Library where you can read the book on this website.
Yeah, that might be good.
Just Google distilled translation of the Bible for sale, and all kinds of stuff pops up.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Great.
I don't know. I don't even know what I was looking for, but we found it. All right, we got another text that came in. It says, "Hey Ranger, Jim and BJ just started tuning into the show after hanging out with Jim in Shearville in June. And the past weekend in Crawfordsville." Are those in Tennessee?
Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Indiana and Shearville, it must be in Indiana too?
No. I don't know where they're talking about there.
S-C-H-E-R-E-ville. Shearville? Shearville in June? And the past weekend in Crawfordsville. Well, anyways, okay. They're saying hello. Whoever it is, because text messages, we don't know who they are because right. We just see the message.
Well, you know, we might want to just thank the ladies for our crispy treats.
Well, I was. Jim walked in the barn tonight with Rice Krispy treats. I only got one square. It's only, it's about 6-7 inches wide and about 9 inches long. I only got one Rice Krispie square.
No, I didn't eat the other one.
But I got this card, folks. I got to tell you about this card real quick. I've never gotten a card. I got to go to the P.O. box.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, they took a piece of paper, and there's these raised foam letters that say BJ, and then they've got a picture of a chocolate lab for Ranger. And then you open up the card, and it says Happy Trails. And then they glued a couple of horseshoes and a real nice picture of a horse. And it says, BJ, thank you and God bless. Enjoy. Donna Orwig and Kayla and Bradley. And I just think this is really cool. This is a homemade card.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like homemade stuff.
Yeah.
Because that means that I don't know. I'm not much for store-bought cards.
Yeah. Well, they put some time and thought into it.
I just think this is really neat. And the card makes up for the fact that I just got one Rice Krispie square. I mean, granted, they cut it into 4 sections to make you think that it's a lot. But
See,
because to me, the true size of one... Okay. This is official now, okay, when it comes to Rice Krispie squares. The official size of one regulation Rice Krispie square is, it should be 9 inches wide and 13 inches long and a 1 inch thick. That is a regulation Rice Krispie square. Now, some people like to be mean and they'll take a 13 by 9 regulation Rice Krispie square, and they'll make a bunch of little squares out of it and pile them on a plate like it's just, oh, look at all these Rice Krispie squares. Well, I feel sorry because I know for a fact that what they have done is they have destroyed a single normal regulation size Rice Krispie square that is 9 inches by 13.
See,
and turned it into, you know, this mountain of
see, this show, folks, is about perspective. And that is a perspective, okay?
You know what?
What?
That's probably one of the best things that you've ever said. And you know what we're going to do, folks, that we haven't done in a while? Okay, here's the deal. You're home. It's nighttime. It's a Tuesday night. If you can't dance for Jesus, who are you going to dance for? You need a little exercise. You need to get up, stomp your feet to the music, and have some fun. So we're going to dance to an old disco song, something with a good beat. Come on, get up, stomp your feet, and move. Put your arms in the air. Go with the beat.
I wonder what the Weaver Kids are doing.
I hope the Weaver Kids are rocking and rolling, jumping up and down right now. Also, during the music, this would be a good time to send us an email or a text message.
Yes, please do.
Come on, folks. Have a little fun. Come on, folks. Have a little fun. If you can't get up and dance, why not? You're supposed to be having fun. That's the problem. Nobody likes to have fun.
Watch it.
New, the Casper slide pro.
Come on, folks. Oh, the Barn Cats. The Barn Cats love to dance to this. Can't you just see the little cats in the barn bouncing around on the bales of hay to the beat of the music? If the Barn Cats can dance, you can dance. Come on.
Rangers out.
Rangers out cold.
Yeah.
She had a big day today. Here it is, folks, your last chance to get some exercise for Jesus. See, everybody's dancing. Listen to them. And now something a little special for the couples out there that want to get a little couples dancing together. That's it. Roll back the rug, shove the couch against the wall, have a little country two-step, courtesy of Ranger and the Abiding Presence Radio Show.
Well, that's pretty old, isn't it?
What a, talk about a combination of music.
Yeah. Even the whole idea, roll back the rug.
Yeah.
That's an old-fashioned home with hardwood floors.
That's where I'm going with it. Here it comes. Ranger! Hi, girl. Sleepy girl. Now that was a dance break.
That's good. I like that last one.
Did you?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. That used to be when my radio show about horses was on, it was syndicated in about 13 states.
Uh-huh.
And on a Sunday night, people would go crazy when I would play that song. And because it's about a minute long.
Okay.
And so I would just keep pushing the button for like 3-4 minutes. And people would call the show and say, oh, we just had a great two-step in our garage. We just had a great two-step in the house. We got an email that just came in. It says, hey, Ranger and her loyal sidekicks. Apparently, that's us.
Sounds like breakfast ed.
It is. It says, I think I ripped my carpet dancing just now. Well, we don't care. It's his carpet, right? What do we care about his carpet? It says, great show. 201 tonight. That's right. It's our 201st show. It says, looking forward to seeing Jim in late August here in North Carolina. Are you going to North Carolina next month?
Yep.
It says, shout out to Brother Joe Edwards and Pasteurizer Brian in Albemarle.
Yeah, Albemarle.
Did I say that right?
Yep.
Albemarle. All the best, Breakfast Ed. You know, he was our first phone caller.
Yeah.
Last week. Folks, we need some emails. We need some text messages, especially after such a wonderful collection of tunes for your dancing pleasure.
Okay, so I want to kind of bring this up here, and that is, how are people responding to some of the potential crisis, disasters, even little things that could amount to big things? How are people responding to them? You and I don't know if we want to get into it. We don't have to. But you and I were talking earlier, and I really was, I don't know, motivated by just hearing some of your response to possible things that could happen. And what they told me was, you really, really don't care.
No,
and it,
I don't.
And even about something that could potentially be wrong physically.
Yeah.
You really could care less. And right. So your response, and I know this is, you made the comment, you know, this isn't necessarily your favorite comment, and it doesn't matter what the reason is, but your response is like taking a lemon and making lemonade. Your response is to take something that could be disastrous or negative, and because you don't care, it's amazing how you can come up with, very creatively, ways of looking at something that could be bad. The next thing you know, you're enjoying grace. It means nothing. You're having fun, and God's involved, and literally God's grace has just taken care of everything.
I don't know if this is going to make sense to anybody, but I don't know why somebody would want insight into me. But, I mean, I'll kind of give you an idea of the way I look at things, but I spend all my time with the guys 24/7. And I look at my body, I look at this world, I look at Ranger and the horses, this ranch. And you know how much I, you know, care about the ranch, and you know how hard, you know, we all work to keep it the way it is. But I look at this life as a fleeting blink of an eye. Like I'm going 75 miles an hour on the interstate,
right?
And a power pole, I just passed a power pole, just went right by it. Because we're talking about an endless, limitless, boundless relationship with the guys,
right?
That even Scripture says that our bodies mean nothing.
Right.
Scripture says the reality, the world, this earth, this globe, means nothing. It's all temporary. Think about how many times the guys have dismissed the bodies and the globe. I mean, let's face it, Noah didn't build the world's biggest bass boat for nothing. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Revelation. How everything is gone, but yet our spirits go on. That heaven is our future. So subsequently, I don't care about things. Why would I give something that is temporary, that neither heaven or hell cares about, now? Why should I? Because these are the, I hate this phrase, but it really fits. These are the type of chains that we bind ourselves with.
Hmm.
That we care about things that have no meaning. It's like being a child in school, and the teacher says that you're going to detention, you're going to fail, you're going to get held back, I'm going to call your parents if you don't do your homework. And you just think life as you know it's over. You're going to be grounded. You're going to be in trouble. And you just can't imagine surviving this ordeal. And all of a sudden, 20, 30 years goes by, and you don't even remember that happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when your own child or grandparent or neighbor kid says, no, you don't understand how bad this is. If I don't turn this homework assignment in, I'm not going to get to play video games for a week. My life is going to be sheer hell. It's going to be over. People are going to wonder why I'm not Twittering or on Facebook. This is a disaster. And as an adult, you're looking at this child saying, you don't know how trivial this is.
Right.
How nothing this is. Well, that's the way the guys look at your body and look at the life and the choices you make. Because they honestly look at you and say, why do you choose something that is negative and temporary?
Right.
Why do you choose to put all your time and energy into something that is fleeting?
Right.
People that are religious and spiritual put so much stock and trade in the fact that God's love is all powerful, that Jesus is endless and limitless and boundless, that we have no perception on how great the journey is and how glorious our future is after this life. But yet, at the same time, instead of looking forward, we focus on yesterday.
Yeah.
And how screwed up today was. And how, matter of fact, tomorrow is just going to be as crappy as today was.
Well, you know, I read something on the internet about how the disciples died. You know, his merry band of 12. And it's pretty amazing when you look at it. I mean, pretty much they were all crucified in various different places. I mean, Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't believe he was worthy to be crucified the way the Lord was. So they hung him upside down and nailed him to a cross. Different ones were beheaded. Others were, you know, they tried to boil John in oil and he wouldn't boil. So they went ahead and put him on an island where he ended up dying, you know, of old age. You know, they all went through some really serious situations. When you look at these are the guys that hung out with Jesus the most.
Right.
My point is just to say, are we holding on to life with both hands and our feet wrapped around it so tightly? And your comments are right that, I mean, everything about this life is going to burn or it's going to be flushed. It's not long from now. It won't be. But we still will be with the Lord. So where is our allegiance and where is our energy going? And that really should help us think a little bit about the choices we make.
I'm trying to think how to word this, and I'm not sure this is the best way, but it seems to be the one that keeps popping up in my head, that the more we care about ourselves and the more we care about our lives, the less room there is for the guys to care and for grace to do their job.
Yeah.
I mean, the devil doesn't have us in a chokehold.
No.
The devil isn't tricking us. We're choking ourselves and we're tricking, we're fooling ourselves and we're literally painting ourselves in the proverbial corner. We're making molehills where there is no hills, and we're taking molehills and turning them into mountains. We're choosing to participate and things, and I'll tell you what I've started to say to people is people will say, well, I don't have time for this. This is a waste of time. I don't look at it that way. You know what I tell people? I say, this is a waste of my life. You're wasting right. you're wasting my life. And they go, what? And I says, I don't know when I'm going to die. I says, you're wasting my life. I've got so many minutes, so many hours, so many days, so many years, and you're wasting it. I'm not dealing with this. I could care less. And they just go, I just don't see why this doesn't matter to you. Well, then all of a sudden, a week, a month, or 2 months goes by, they don't care about it either anymore.
Right.
Look, either you're going to care about your relationship with Christ, or you're going to care about your relationship with yourself. And yep. and it's one or the other. And frankly, it's all up to you. If you win, you get the credit. If you lose, it's your fault.
Right. Yeah, here are some scriptures. Let me just read these. These are great. And this is the Message Bible for the first two. It says Luke 9:23-26. Then Jesus told them that they could what they could expect for themselves. He said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do for you to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? Luke 17:33 in the Message said, if you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let go of that life, you'll get life on God's terms. And then Revelation 12:11-12 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. Well, I think that really shows just what you were saying, is how Jesus saw the paradox of trying to hold on to you lose you.
Right.
Letting go of you is when you find God, and in finding God, you find you.
We got a text message that came in that says, loved the intermission.
Oh,
it says, too bad Rob was asleep. Great, great show. Dorothea,
it must
New
be Dorothea.
Jersey.
Yeah, that's Dorothea.
Now, Rob isn't business. Is
no, they're basically best friends. Rob, and then businessman Bob.
Oh, okay.
Business card Bob.
Oh, okay. And she says, love the intermission. Too bad Rob was asleep. Great show, Dorothea. And then we received an email 2 minutes ago. It says, how do you text message? It says, unable to text 99,000. I just did it and it worked. There's two procedures in sending a text message. The first one is the very first word that you type has to be Ranger, RANGER. If you don't type, if Ranger isn't the first word in your text message, it's not going to work. We had to pick a word to this new code of 99,000, and Grace was already taken, so we picked Ranger. Otherwise, it'd still be Grace. So that was the texting company. So the first word in a text has to be Ranger, RANGER. Then you type the rest of your comment or question. And then when you press the send button and your machine asks you for a number, it's 99000, 2 9s, 3 0s. And if it still doesn't work, I don't know what to tell you, because we're receiving text and it just worked for me, and my cell phone is like 12 years old, so it's not new technology. We're getting down to the last part of the radio show, and Jim, do you I think that we've kind of given the perspective that I wanted to make people think about, to be a little more self-aware and a self think more about what they're doing?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I love the comment that I wrote down earlier that said, it's not about, let me just write what I wrote. This is a ranch quote here that I wrote down. It said, it's not living a fairy tale life. It's a possibility to have stuff go wrong each and every day. Yet a life with the guys is the ability of grace to smooth the road.
Yeah.
So everyone has possibilities of garbage. Really, it's how you respond. And I can't stress that enough. This is where creativity comes in. And I think the one thing I remember, probably was about 2 years ago, you made the comment, you know, I've come to the place where I need more creativity, more imagination for grace.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I lack. In other words, I'm seeing it all the time. I'm experiencing them all the time. But in other words, I may not think beyond what I've kind of created as a reality.
What I meant was, is I know there's more grace going on. I just can't imagine what it is, where it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know it's there.
And folks, this is really what I want to stress, because each of us need to open our heart and mind. I'm seeing so much on the road right now, people getting healed so simply. When a question is posed to them, something as ridiculous as, while they're standing there in pain, are you sure you're really in pain right now?
Yeah.
And the moment that the eyes open up wider and they kind of tilt their head like a dog and give you that dog look to do what? Because right then they're beginning to check their body to see if what I said is possible. And instantly their bodies are healed. I've watched that multiple times, and it's showing me how accessible grace is and how it should be very simple.
The other day I was in town at the lumber yard, and all of a sudden the guys just said, you need to go over to the nails. And you know me and my arguments, I said, I don't need nails, we got plenty of nails.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I do that. You know, yeah. I argue with the guys all the time. I says, I don't need any nails. And they say, go to the nails. So I go over to the nails, and here's this guy, total city guy. He's wearing a little shirt with an animal on the pocket, like a light yellow shirt. And he's got
a polo shirt.
Yeah, and he's got these like light yellow short pants on. And he's got these little socks that don't even go up to his ankles, and he's wearing these little sandals, and his hair's combed just right, and he's got sunglasses on top of his head, you know, and I'm just thinking, okay, this guy's obviously from another planet. You know, what he's doing, I'm thinking to myself, why this guy is in my lumber yard.
Right.
You know, like it's mine, you know. Why this guy's in my life, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, well, obviously Jesus wanted me to see somebody from another planet. And all of a sudden, this guy is like looking at these boxes of nails. And he's looking at the boxes. And I can tell it's like he's looking for instructions. You know, like take the small little object, put the point towards the wood, and hit the other part with a hammer. Like he's looking, I don't know what he was reading the boxes about. I mean, it's a box of nails, and you can see the nails.
Right.
You know, and I'm trying to think, what's there to read? It's a box of nails. And I'm thinking, God, I'm so lucky I was a born a city person. And all of a sudden, he drops this box of nails. Now, this is like a 2-pound box of nails. And he drops it, and it falls between his feet. And when it hits the ground, he kind of has that knee-jerk reaction, like, oh, it almost hit my toes. And he says, man, he says, he looks at me and he goes, boy, I was lucky. And I says, yeah, you should have worn your steel-toed sandals. And he says, oh, that's funny, steel-toed sandals. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, man. You know, I'm just thinking, I need to shop at a different hour. And then he bends over to pick up the nails, and it falls out of his shirt. He's wearing a little gold crucifix. And I'm thinking, this guy is obviously either spiritual or religious or both, because he's wearing his, he's wearing his,
cross
baby socks he's had his whole life because they don't even cover his ankle bones. And he's got this cross and this box of nails falls between his feet and not on his toes because, he's just wearing stupid sandals. And he says, "Oh, that was lucky." And I'm thinking, no, that's grace. This has got grace all over it. And it's like in my head, I'm going, grace, grace, this is grace. And there's like, to me, the lights are blinking on the ceiling,
right.
And there's, woo, 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 welcome to the grace aisle. And
right.
I'm going, no, this is grace, grace. I'm going in my head, I'm going, this is crazy. And I'm going, yeah, you're lucky. And then I said, what if it was Jesus who did this? And he says, "Don't be disrespectful." And I thought to myself, disrespectful? I'm going, are you kidding me? Lights and sirens, woo, woo, grace, grace, grace. And I says, "You're saying it's good to be lucky? No, you're the one with a cross around his neck. You're the one being disrespectful. Me, I'm just saying this is grace, And I just left it at that, and I walked away. And I thought, I looked at the guys and I says, I could have done without this.
Uh-huh.
And they says, no, this shows you how much grace is in somebody's life that they never take advantage of.
That's right.
And I started thinking, I go, hello, duh, stupid horseman. Yeah. How many times every day does grace try to avail itself? Does Christ try to say, "Hi, my name is Christ. This is my son Jesus. Here's grace. Here's the Holy Spirit. We just thought that we would let this box of nails hit the floor instead of your ugly shoes and socks. We just want to let you know that, hi, you're welcome in heaven. And, have you thought about us lately?" No, this guy says, "Oh, that was lucky. Oh, don't be,
And the coolest thing is there's no difference from the simplicity of grace to keep that box of nails from hitting that guy's toes than a tumor disappearing in a person's body, than an eye opening up, than ears hearing that couldn't hear. There's no difference. God's grace is flat God's grace. It's not a little bit here and a little bit there, but oh boy, we need a lot here. God's grace is sufficient. That's what God told Paul. He said, "My grace," he didn't say what kind of grace, big grace, little grace, because it's all grace. He said, "My grace is sufficient."
I think that there's no difference between cancer, a tumor, you're in an accident and the car's on fire. You're drowning, you've fallen off a cliff, an airplane is crashing, a box of nails is hitting the floor, you slam your finger in the car door. As far as grace is concerned, they're all the same.
Right.
There isn't one that is more urgent, there isn't one that is more important, because they're not. They're not in the eyes of grace.
No, they're already handled. They're already taken care of.
And I think that this is about perspective as well.
Yes, it is.
I think people they the box of nails misses their feet and they say they're lucky. But yet if he went outside and he was in a car accident and he doesn't get hurt, he might say, "Well, thank God for God looking out for me." And what he doesn't realize is the shame of it is that grace was there for the box of nails as well.
He was looking out the whole time.
And I think that has to do with perspective. That's recognizing the mountains but ignoring the molehill and ignoring the flat ground.
Right.
You want to say something to music?
Yes.
I'm ready.
I am too. Well, the first thing I wanted to say is to the listener tonight that wrote in about how do we get past when we're not seeing the manifestation. This show was for you. what we've just got through talking about in the last few moments. It was for you. It was to help you to get past all of that so you can begin to experience and enjoy what God so wonderfully and lovingly wants us to enjoy. And if for some reason what I just said still doesn't answer your question, I encourage you to listen to this show more than once. Well, for everyone that's listening tonight, thanks so much for showing up and listening, being a part of our show. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week. And let me just pray here for a moment. I've prayed this a million times, it seems like. Of course, that's exaggerated, but I've prayed it a lot on this show. And I want to do so again tonight, that your eyes would be opened to see and to comprehend what God has done for you. That God, by His grace, would reveal experiences with Him. Now this is Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16 through the end of the chapter. That you would begin to know what is the hope of your calling, the glorious riches of God's inheritance, and what it's like to experience God's wonderful power. And that's what God wants for each member of His body or His church. So tonight I pray for you to experience all of that, your eyes to be open, and your heart and your mind to just be open enough for God to be able to be as real as He is. Have a good night.
Well, we have something that has never happened before in the history of the show. We have just been bombarded with emails.
We have?
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. We got 4 emails over the last couple of minutes. We got one here that says, decided to email rather than text. Was hanging out with Jim at Cherish in Schererville, Indiana. They met in a banquet hall.
Yes.
And it says at a place alive in Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Yes.
Just wanted to say I've really been enjoying the archives. Finally got to catch you guys live. Love your synopsis of the book of James. I remember you talking about learning to play the guitar by ear as opposed to sight reading. It really showed me just how boxed in my relationship with God was after 12 plus years of well-intentioned religion. A lot of deprogramming is going on in my life right now, and I love having guys like you, Dan Moore and Todd White, to encourage me in my heart to seek authentic, tangible relationship with God. Thanks for the wisdom and for being real. This is Brett out of Champaign, Urbana,
right.
Illinois.
Yeah, these guys came down for each service. That was really nice. Thanks, guys.
We got one that came in 3 minutes ago. It says, hello, Ranger, BJ, and Jim. Love the show tonight. Jim, in the Message translation in Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, it really spells out what we are talking about tonight. BJ, did you know that a panda bear eats 33 pounds of bamboo each day and poops 40 times each day? Blessings, Diane from Toronto.
Holy smokes.
No, I didn't know that, but I know that the oldest panda living in captivity is 37, been in 37 years old. I feel sorry for a panda that's been jailed for 37 years, but there's a panda that's been in a zoo for 37 years. It's the oldest panda alive. But I like that. That was very good.
That's very funny.
Yeah, that's a new thing for the show, too.
Panda, it is.
Panda poop. It says, please don't mention my name. Hello to Ranger, Jim and BJ, and everyone listening. What does God mean in Ephesians chapter 6 when Paul wrote that we are all to put on the whole armor of God? Appreciate the show so much.
Well, it's just in its very most simplest form, the answer is God wants you to put on an awareness of His presence, His wonderful joy, what He's done for us, your position in Christ. In other words, He's saying each and every day, make sure that you live in the reality of the Spirit, where God is real, and then you can experience Him. And that's the reason why in that same chapter it talks about spiritual warfare. And the warfare is to keep you in your mind and in your flesh, instead of putting on every day an awareness that you are a spirit connected to God and you can experience Him. That's exactly what it means.
Okay, we got an email that came in 4 minutes ago. It says, forgot to mention last week, Gunsmoke, you know, the TV show Gunsmoke, right, ran for 20 years and had 635 episodes. And see, this came up because last week was was our 200th show. And I says, well, Gunsmoke and Bonanza, they were around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it says, so at a rate of 52 shows per year, you guys only have 8.346 more years worth of shows.
Oh, no.
And then we'll match Gunsmoke.
I don't want to match Gunsmoke. Do you?
You don't want to do the show for 8 more years?
Oh.
Yeah. What else you got planned?
Well, I mean, nothing.
You literally just told everybody listening that you don't want to, that there's an ending to the show.
Well, maybe we'll make them think that, so they'll want to listen to everyone just to make sure that it's not the last one. I don't know.
See, folks, 201 shows. This is the cross I bear. These type of comments. This type of attitude. It's no. I'm not going to.
You know, there are people.
I'm going to keep my composure. I just. what? No, ahead. Go ahead. I invite you. Please say what you will.
No, I'm done. I already prayed.
I've already prayed. Oh my gosh, we got another one that came in. It says,
are these people on a different time zone than we, or what?
I don't know. It says 1 minute ago. It says, does the Holy Spirit abide in your soul or spirit?
Well, of course, in your spirit.
I think that's like tomato, tomato, potato, potato. I think soul or spirit. I think to some people, like this person, soul and spirit are
could
different.
Be the same, different.
Yeah. To me, soul and spirit, I think is the same.
Paul called them different. He said spirit, soul, and body. So he said, you know, basically was making a three-part person, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And the soul would comprise the will, the emotion, the intellect. And, you know, the way I see it is God comes to live in your spirit. That's where over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:17, Paul talks about that we have become one spiritual being in the Lord. And that's the Holy Spirit in our spirit together.
I like these emails.
Well, it's great. We're getting them all at once, yeah, like a shotgun.
I don't care.
Well, I don't either.
I'm just glad. I mean, it means that we're not talking to just ourselves and the barn kitties.
We're going to go another hour. I'll just go get another water, and we'll be fine.
We got plenty of pizza left over. Great
we
snacks
do.
Tonight.
We do, yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you for the text messages, the emails. Welcome to new listeners out there. And as we start our 201st radio show tonight, take care of yourselves and your pets. And we're waiting for the real boss of the ranch to get over here. What are those little... There we go. Now that makes sense. Right, Ranger? Dog is going backwards, Ranger. And we just wish you all a good night. It'll take me...
Good night, everyone.
It'll take about 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and up and streaming. Last week's show will start playing as soon as we say good night. And we'll see you here next Tuesday night, the first Tuesday of August. Ranger? Hey, we just got a text that came in. It says, BJ, his grace is sufficient. That's a text that just popped up on the screen. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good girl, Ranger.